steps to the mic with a boom, ping, ping. Wisdom sharper than a beast's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, oh, the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Program. Today is Monday, August 24th, 2026. One of the missions of this program is to explain things from a different perspective. Maybe it's a social perspective. Maybe it's a political perspective. Maybe it's cultural. Maybe sometimes it's racial. And then it may be the intersectionality of all of those things. Milwaukee is a very, very fascinating place because it is, I'd like to think, a city that is versed in the 21st century. We're a travel and tourism city, and we welcome all sorts of people here for a variety of different events, whether it be our ethnic festivals or our big old music festival. It's a lot of things. We, of course, have the Milwaukee State Fair. While not in the city of Milwaukee proper, it's in West Allis, which is close enough. All of the offerings, the amenities that we have bring a diversity of people here. Depending upon what kind of sports fan you are, we likely have something for you. Professional soccer team and basketball team, and of course, a baseball team in the Milwaukee Brewers. And so when I saw that the Brewers were having a Black Culture Exhibition on Friday at the American Family Field ahead of the Brewers game, I braced myself, and I braced myself for the promotion of that event via social media and then the comments that people would leave. And as you could imagine, the comments that people would leave and giving their thoughts on the Black Culture Fest that took place at not Miller Park, it's American Family Field. I got to get used to it. What can I say? I remember when it was County Stadium. I'll get it right one of these days. It was going to be an exhibition of Black culture, creativity, and the lasting impact of Black excellence on baseball and beyond. And when I saw that is what it was being promoted as and billed as, I was like, these comments are going to be absolutely dreadful. Baseball was not nearly the first sport to integrate, ladies and gentlemen, so there is a streak of separation that existed in Major League Baseball. Of course, you had the Negro Leagues, and think about that for a second. Why would you need a whole separate league of baseball players if that sport didn't have a rich rooted history in racism. It does. And just remember, if something had a history in racism, it still lives on to this day. The problem is we don't recognize it. And I'm going to give you a bunch of examples today. I'm going to take this entire show, and we're going to talk about race from a different perspective, because usually I talk about race from a perspective so that white people can get a better understanding of some of their microaggressions and how their microaggressions and these little things that they say and these little things that they do can lead to macro behaviors. And so I've always tried to shed light, because some people don't realize that things are racist because it's just been a part of their upbringing and their background and their developmental environment. Like, oh, I thought that all black people acted this way. And so I try to bring different perspectives. Oftentimes it falls on deaf ears, because the people that want to be more culturally versed can find ways to be more culturally versed. There are some people that don't believe some of the generalizations and the stereotypes that they hear about other races, and they may actually seek out things that defy those stereotypes and those generalizations. Not necessarily for those people, because they can find the answers and they can find the truth on their own, but it's for other folks who may pride themselves on, oh, I have black friends, but still believe some really horrible and awful things about black people. So I spend a disproportionate amount of time not even trying to change anyone's mind, but just showing them the ignorance in some of their ways, but also the harm that they may have done, sometimes intentionally, sometimes inadvertently, because of the primitive attitude that they have about race. So I spend a lot of time doing that. And over the years, I suppose we've had varying degrees of success with those conversations. But never once did I ever think for a moment that when I have these conversations about race, that I need to be explaining it to black people, because we live in a damn bubble. We seem to think because they aren't throwing the N-word around as much as they want to, we believe that because now in 2026, we absolutely can go more places than we could, say, a generation or two ago, especially in other regions of the country where black people were strictly prohibited. We believe as black people, this is the bubble that we live in, and I am so hurt by this, because I thought we knew. And if we don't know, then our kids don't know. Our kids don't even know the kind of racist world that they are going to inherit, because the damn parents and the grandparents think because the coloreds only signs and the whites only signs came down, and because the schools were integrated and now you can get a drink of water at anybody's water fountain, not just the blacks only water fountain, we think that racism went away. And every now and again, when they show you how they really think about us, we get so hurt by it. I couldn't believe some of the comments, not from the white people, when they were advertising the Black Culture Fest, because the worst place to have a Black Culture Fest, if there's going to be a professional sporting event, is at a Major League Baseball game. I haven't been to very many professional baseball games. I've been to none in other cities, even though I've been to football games in other cities. I might have even seen professional hockey in other cities. I've never seen a Major League Baseball game in another city. And I've probably gone to less than 20 here in the city of Milwaukee. There's always been a feeling of discomfort and unease when I went to County Stadium. I didn't go to County Stadium for the first time to see a Brewer game until I was 21 years old. Didn't go. No interest, no desire. Baseball is not culturally welcoming. And even worse so, the fans, when they had the discussion on where to rebuild the new baseball stadium, it was a big political discussion. Even a member of the Wisconsin State Senate got recalled because they were thinking about moving what was then called Miller Park to a different location. You ever wonder why it is where it is? You ever wonder why any other major city? You have your casino, you have your basketball arena, and you have your baseball stadium all downtown. They're all in the same little area because that's where you want to concentrate the travel and the tourism dollars. But if you look at where our baseball park is, and so when they tore down County Stadium, they had to figure out real quick, otherwise we were going to lose the Milwaukee Brewers. And I believe that we need to keep professional sports teams here because they do generate a tremendous amount of tax revenue. They do. all of the players from the other teams, including the Milwaukee Brewers, when they play here, their income per game is taxed. We get that money here in the state of Wisconsin. That becomes a part of our state budget. All of the concessions that are sold, all of the employees of that, of the baseball stadium that keep it running, that do all the HVAC and do all of the maintenance and do all of the cleaning and all of the food vendors, those are all really good economic actions that we want to keep. You don't ever want to lose a professional sports team. Don't believe me? Ask New Jersey when they lost the Nets. They immediately felt that hole in their economy. You don't want to lose a professional sports team now. But one of the compromises was because we had torn down 145. So 145 was the freeway that essentially, when it was torn down, it revealed the land in which Fiserv Forum was now built. And so when they were considering, this is back in the late and mid-1990s, where they were going to build the new baseball stadium, a bunch of people said, well, we have all of this land open up downtown because we had a big old hole in the middle of downtown when they tore down 145. They didn't start building the Fiserv Forum until probably 2016, 2015 or 2016 is when they started building the Bucks Arena. That land has sat vacant for 15 years. There's a reason why that land sat vacant for 15 years. Because there were specific requirements for any developer, if you wanted to build something on the most precious, most valuable land in the entire state of Wisconsin, that was valuable real estate. Think about where the Deer District is. That was all vacant. Literally nothing was there when they tore the freeway down. But Milwaukee County that owned that land said, anyone who develops this land, you're going to have 40 or 50% minority contractors or minority construction firms and women-owned businesses. And for 15 years, developers said, no thanks, we don't want to hire that many black people, even though the real estate is valuable. But eventually, Herb Cole said, I'll split the bill with you, with these New York billionaire fellas that came in and bought the Milwaukee Bucks and also helped build the Fiserv Forum. Make no mistake about it, we paid for half of that too. However, I digress. They could have built the baseball stadium right there, but here's what season ticket holders said. Season ticket, Milwaukee Brewers, which is what they said. Don't you dare build that damn new stadium in the middle of downtown Milwaukee, or we will not renew our season tickets. I don't know what the statistic is now, but at the time, 60% of season ticket holders lived outside of the city of Milwaukee, mostly from all points west, like Waukesha area. Those were the season ticket holders. And they said, if you build that arena or that new baseball park, because we had to rebuild what was then Miller Park in order for the Brewers to stay, because every now and again, you got to upgrade your stadiums or the league will take your team and make it for sale. They'll let other teams and other cities bid on if you don't want to build a new stadium. And it's always a big political fiasco because where's the money going to come from and are the taxpayers going to pay for it? In my opinion, it's always a good investment for the taxpayers to invest in having a sports team in your city because it brings tremendous amounts of revenue for many, many decades. But the season ticket holder said, you're going to build it exactly where County Stadium was. And then the urban planners were like, no, 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 we want to bring more economic activity downtown. Let's just do a freeze frame real quick. Look at how much economic activity has poured into downtown Milwaukee in the last 30 years. There were no damn condos. There was no Riverwalk 30 years ago. Nobody lived downtown 30 years ago. It was a bunch of old dilapidated factory buildings. Now look at it. Condos, housing, shops, stores. The Third Ward didn't even really exist. The Third Ward used to be a bunch of places where the Italians bought their groceries. Now look at it. It's a destination, right? So a lot of money, a lot of investment was pouring into downtown. But this idea of putting downtown in the spotlight that it's in right now goes back 30 or 40 years. In fact, this goes back to when Mayor John Norquist was mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He was like, we need to build up downtown in order for Milwaukee to be successful. Lo and behold, he was right, somewhat. And so when we're considering what to put in that vacant area that is now the Deer District, obviously building the baseball stadium makes good sense. But the season ticket holder said, we don't want to drive through the black neighborhoods to go watch our beloved Brewers. You will build the stadium on the outskirts so we can just hop right on 94, go to our baseball game, hop right on 94, head back west and go home. And that's exactly what they did. So I want you to keep that in mind. I'm going to give you these details of the, when I say racist comments, that really is an understatement, but I'm not shocked that when you advertise a black culture fest at American Family Field ahead of one of the baseball games. I'm not shocked that white people would leave racist comments. It's what they do. But it's how black people were so hurt and so shocked that white people think this way about us. And I'm thinking to myself, what bubble do you live in? You know what I think it might be? I think that black people believe now more than ever that we're the vocal ones on racism, that we call out white people all the time when they say something racist, when they do something racist. Don't let them use the N-word. We're going to have them canceled. Or we can act in any old way when we as black people are out in public and dare a white person to say anything about us or anything to us because of how we act, because we can shut them down by calling them racist. So here's what happens. White people really don't say anything. They use microaggressions. They may roll their eyes. They may stay quiet altogether. And so when we don't hear them vocally expressing how much, I mean, they hate our guts, y'all. They hate us. Even the ones that pretend to like us. And the fact that y'all don't know this blows my mind. And we as black people are putting ourselves in places and in spaces where we think we are safe because the people are reasonably nice to us. Oh, no, 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 no. They hate us. But the number of black people that were in the comments saying, well, but I was the first black person to graduate from my high school, but I'm a black person and I have a job. But explaining to racists, okay, explaining to them how they've got it wrong about black people. And the fact that black people thought that they need to explain to these people, to these white folks that hate our guts, was astonishing to me. And then you had some other butthurt black folks like, well, I'm going to screenshot these and send this to your employer. The employers are probably more racist than the employees. I even had one. I'm going to read some of the comments when I come back from my break. One lady even said, oh, God, what did she say? I'm going to send this to their pastor. And their pastor is not going to like all these racist comments. Do you want Sundays is the most segregated damn day of the week. I did not know that we as black people would respond in such a emotional way to white people expressing how they actually feel about us. I thought that we knew. And the fact that we don't know means that we are not telling the generation behind us of what they are prepared for. Look at the disparities in our criminal justice system. Look at the disparities in racial profiling. Look what happens when we send our kids to schools in which they control the school board and the curriculum. What happens? The black kids can't read. I'll do you one better. 92% of the suspensions and the expulsions of MPS are black kids, but black kids are less than 50% of the student body. If that does not tell you alone how they feel about us, why would y'all be shocked at the comments? So I'm going to have to decipher this for y'all. Hopefully our YouTube is back up. We were having a couple few technical difficulties. Xavier says no. Is that what the phone calls have been, Xavier?
Yeah, they're calling about the YouTube. The YouTube is all messed up right now.
Oh, Nelly.
Yeah, so someone's working on it right now.
You guys are going to have to go to 1017thetruth.com and stream my voice the old-fashioned way. Or, oh, no, don't forget about the radio. Go sit in the car. Go sit in the car and put on 101.7 or... We even have an AM signal, too, if you're feeling fancy. It's 1510 AM. We're hopefully going to get the YouTube back up and take a break when I come back. I'm going to read some of the comments that the more fair-skinned folks left on this flyer, this advertisement for Black Culture Fest that took place at American Family Field. And the number of black people, they're like, why would you say such racist things about us? I'm a black person and I'm smart, like trying to explain why they're not supposed to hate us. Y'all are missing the entire point. But we're going to get into it today because today I got to explain racism not to white people, but to black people. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back. On 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
On Friday, they had a Black Culture Fest. at American Family Field ahead of one of the Brewers games. And every so often they'll do something dedicated to the legacy of African Americans and our contributions to Major League Baseball. Please keep in mind that Major League Baseball was not the first sport to integrate. It was actually in the NFL. And the last sport, professional sport, to integrate was basketball. 1950, 1951. And here's what's crazy. In the early 1950s, when they finally integrated the NBA, which I bet you they wish they wouldn't have. I bet they wish they would have kept the NBA all white, because then once we came into the league, oh, no. How are these blacks scoring 17,000 points? They were recruiting black NBA players from the damn Harlem Globetrotters. Isn't that wild? Because where else are you going to get them from? And then, you know, fast forward a couple of decades, arguably, some of the absolute best people that have ever laid hands on a basketball have been. It's been a couple Serbians. There's been a couple. There's been a Chinese or two. There's Yao Ming. Remember him? He was Chinese, very, very tall. We had a guy from Australia, the Bucks did, Andrew Bogut. Remember him? But then, you know, it's been mostly dominated by black African Americans. But the racism that exists, I don't even know if it's in the league. It's interesting because I went to a NASCAR race in 2024. NASCAR has banned the Confederate flag, and, you know, they tried to be a little bit more sensitive and progressive with the times. It usually isn't the corporate offices. It's not what we call big NASCAR. It's not the big Major League Baseball. They're not racist because they hit their heads against the wall to try and figure out how they're going to get more black consumers and how do they get more black fans. So when I went to that NASCAR race in Las Vegas, I promise you, 50% of all of the pit crews and the pit bosses and the people that were there, like, having, like, real jobs with these NASCAR teams were black. I was blown away. Big NASCAR wants a black audience. They do, because we are an up-and-coming minority group, and black people are making more money. We have more income. And, of course, big corporations, including sports, they want black folks to buy tickets and to attend events. It's the damn fans. Every time I go to a baseball game, and there hasn't been many, because I don't feel comfortable. When 101.7 The Truth did something featuring black people. Maybe it was a Negro League weekend or one of those things, and they had different hosts from 101.7 The Truth do these games where they invite somebody out of the crowd to answer questions, and they win a bunch of prizes. Tori did it, and then I did it. That was the most nervous I'd ever been in my entire life. First of all, I was overwhelmed that it was 40-some thousand people there. That was the first part. But the second part was, I knew that I wasn't welcome there. I've never felt comfortable there because baseball fans, they're like working class white people, which I don't know if you guys know this. Those are the most racist people you're ever going to find, because they believe that their economic situation is directly tied to other races taking their jobs. It's the working class white people that say, oh, this DEI and affirmative action, and, you know, black people going to college for free, that's harming me and my family, even though it has nothing to do with it. Now, is there more competition for good paying jobs? Absolutely there is. But they, the working class whites, who've always had a level of insecurity when it comes to their jobs, because they can get downsized, or they can get automated, or they can get AI'd out of their job. They've always been very insecure. But when you have a white person in the United States of America that is insecure, here's what you can do to manipulate them forever. Blame a black person or blame a Mexican for why everything is messed up in their world, and they'll eat it. And it's political, too. I could have a whole political party and tell you how bad black people are and how bad immigrants are and how bad Mexicans are, and I will make a whole bunch of voters hate those groups. Hate them. Hate them. Want to kill them. Don't want them in this country. And you can get votes based upon how much you hate those other racial and ethnic groups by a bunch of working class white folks who've always felt insecure about their job. The insecurity about the working class white and their job and their opportunities goes back to slavery. I need you to think about how slavery was not in the best economic interest of poor white folk. You ever think about that for a second? You know that all white people didn't own slaves, right? Like 1 or 2%, hardly anybody owned slaves. The same 1% as right now, you know, the billionaires that y'all hate? Basically, that was the same class of people that owned the slaves. Every white person didn't own slaves. White people were too poor in the rural South. And let me tell you why white people were poor, why they were kept poor, why they were kept economically deprived. Because if you're economically deprived, you're vulnerable. And if you're vulnerable, you'll fall for anything. And if you're economically deprived and you're vulnerable, chances are you're probably not highly educated. And you can manipulate those people. If you were a plantation owner and you had the ability to permanently purchase your labor in enslaved people. Let's say you had a big old plantation. You had rice. You had the big three. Rice, tobacco, and cotton. Fourth would probably be sugarcane. But sugarcane was more the agricultural mainstay in the Caribbean. By the way, sugarcane plantations, unbelievably brutal. Probably some of the very labor intensive. Cotton is labor intensive too, but not like sugarcane. Sugarcane is very labor intensive. Okay, but that was mostly in the Caribbean. So if you had a big old plantation and you had the big three, cotton, tobacco, and rice, and you had 195 enslaved people taking care of 1,000 acres of rice, tobacco, and cotton. And then you had your servants that were in the house that took care of all the domestic duties. Okay, think about this. You own your slaves, and they take care of everything. You're not hiring white people. You're not hiring them. You don't need to. Why would you pay a white person a wage when you can buy a black person and work them for until they die? So white people were deprived economically because of the institution of slavery. Now, what you would do is you would hire a handful of white people to be plantation overseers, et cetera, et cetera. But trust me when I tell you, if a plantation had 195 slaves, maybe they hired 20 white people to be overseers, if that, because those slaves took jobs from what would be working class white Southerners, and that is why the South remained so poor. Black people couldn't own anything. We weren't making any wages, so our poverty was fixed in the institution. But white people were impoverished, too. And then it's crazy because the same plantation owners told those white folks who could not get any kind of work or any kind of jobs in those Southern agricultural plantations to go and fight the Civil War on behalf of the plantation owners' right to continue to buy, sell, trade, and own black people. That is insane. Enter Donald Trump. He's doing the exact same thing for the modern era. It is also why the Democratic Socialists don't see why we as African Americans don't subscribe to their philosophy, because they, the Democratic Socialists, who do not have a platform for race, they do not. They'll have more of a platform for the gays and the queers. Oh, by the way, the alphabet is breaking up. I don't know if you guys know this, but the gays and the lesbians are now starting to separate themselves from the asexuals, the intersex people, and the trans people, because those folks on the other end of the alphabet are identities. A lesbian woman is still a woman. She just likes other lesbians. A gay man, his identity is not necessarily as a gay man. He just likes other gay men. And so when you have that alphabet that's combined, the old school gays and the old school lesbians, like, yo, no, we're not with all this trans stuff. Really fascinating social experiments that are taking place in this country right now. But that's just like people of color. Or when people say BIPOC, don't say BIPOC in front of me. I'll punch you in the face. Black indigenous people of color. Please don't do that. Don't make it seem like all of our issues are the same. You know, some BIPOC people hate each other. Do you know that some people that are included in, and the white people came up with this, or some super black liberal, let's call everybody BIPOC. Let's lump everybody together like all of our interests are the same. There are some people in the BIPOC coalition and the people of color coalition that are more racist than white people are. You think black people routinely organize and work with Mexicans? No, we don't. No, we don't. You think a South Korean professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison has anything in common with a black woman who lives in 53206 who's got four kids and no dad? I'm just saying, you can't stop lumping us all together. I was going to read some of these comments that were left on the... what was this damn thing called? Multicultural Night. The YouTube is up, so if you guys want to head on over there, I'm wearing a purple shirt today. wearing some cargo pants, too. I like cargo pants because I have room for my cargo. Join the Milwaukee Brewers and Social X MKE for Black Culture Fest, an afternoon celebrating Black culture, creativity, community, and the lasting impact of Black excellence on baseball and beyond. So that is what they advertise it as, and they put this on social media and left the comment section open. Justin Sider says, I assume the seating will only be available in Section 8. John Roberts says, this will be followed up by, quote, bring your Bluetooth speaker at full volume into a public space night. That's actually kind of funny. Russ Hansitter says, will there be a how to act like state fair booth? Larry Sherry says, first pitches will be provided by the kids from State Fair Park. Bring your gloves. Andrew Blakey says, quote, fist fights in the 400s has a better ring to it. Mark Grimm says, what time is the watermelon seed spitting contest? And it goes on and on and on. And the number of Black people that wasted their precious time commenting, that's racist. Why would you say that? Because they are telling you, like, take this as really valuable knowledge, because this is how they actually feel. Now, some of these comments might be bots, but some of the people that like the comments are not. I'm going to take a break, come back. I got a whole bunch of other stuff, too. Oh, since our YouTube is up, do we have the poll question up yet?
Yes, we do.
It might be a little confusing for some, but don't worry, I'm going to get to it. Have you ever owned a Nissan? I'm curious, because I have a story for you that is going to make a lot of sense once I get to it. But our YouTube poll is now up. Go to 1017 The Truth on YouTube. Hit subscribe. Be able to participate in the YouTube chat and also vote on our poll. Do you or have you ever owned a Nissan? I'm in the category. I owned a Nissan. I had a Nissan Pathfinder. I loved that truck very much. I loved it a lot. It was very expensive, but I loved it. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
They had a Black Culture Fest on Friday at American Family Field ahead of one of the Brewers games, or maybe during the Brewer game. I don't know. I didn't go to it. And then they were promoting this event very innocently on social media, but they left the comments section open. And as you would imagine, some of the comments were very ignorant, very racist, very stereotypical about Black people. And that doesn't shock me, because that is exactly what they are supposed to do. That is my expectation of them. And they always meet, and quite honestly, they exceed that expectation. What I didn't expect was for the number of Black people to try and reason with a racist, and the number of Black people that shared this flyer where all of these racist comments were posted in, like, utter disbelief. Like, I can't believe they feel this way. Everybody look at the comments. Everybody read this. Why is that a shock to anybody? Do you understand that we live on their colony? I'm going to get into some details about that as well. Once I explain, it's going to make a lot of sense to you. Ladies and gentlemen, they hate our guts. And I think that we thought that we had more friends. We thought that we had more allies because we saw how many of them marched when George Floyd got killed. I bet you they don't wear Black Lives Matter t-shirts no more. I bet you they don't have the yard signs in their front yard no more. In fact, they probably replaced some of those Black Lives Matter yard sign with a Tom Tiffany yard sign. You don't have businesses displaying the Black Lives Matter placards in the windows anymore. What happens is whenever there is racial or civil unrest, They want to make it seem like they're actually allied, because the whole thing with racism now is you got to be covert. They don't want you to know. They want you to think that they like us. And what do? We're so stupid. Invite them to the barbecue. Y'all invited white folks to the barbecue as like, I'm going to extend the olive branch. And they accept it. Ooh, they love being around us so they can learn everything there is to know and learn our secrets and learn how we operate. Because here's one thing they can't figure out. Because they've tried everything to stop our success. Everything. And I would say to some extent, it's working pretty good. 2 out of 3 times Donald Trump ran, he got elected. They're doing something right still. They can't figure out how they have thrown everything, including terror, including making it harder for us to vote, including underfunding and undereducating our kids. And they're just so baffled. How are some of us becoming successful? So they love coming to the barbecue. And we think because they accept the invitation that they're not racist. Do y'all have any idea how they talk about us? And this is the unfortunate thing. When you grow up in Milwaukee and you grew up in black Milwaukee and you didn't really interact with a lot of white people, if you grew up in segregated Milwaukee, you didn't go to a majority white school, you didn't have a lot of white friends growing up, you have literally no idea. No clue how much they hate us. One of the best things about me going to school in Brown Deer is I saw how they live. I see how they talk. I see what they discuss when they sit down and have dinner with one another. They hate our guts. We are on their minds constantly. They have to make sure that they are defeating us and outmaneuvering us because they're very embarrassed when we're successful, especially if they're not. And so what do? We think we got a whole bunch of white friends, invite them to the damn barbecue, and all they're doing is taking notes on how they can continue to harm us. Let's talk to Derek. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you, Derek?
I'm doing well, Sherwin. I mean, you brought something up really good as far as baseball teams and everything else like that. But I was just thinking about when they left Oakland and they went to Las Vegas, and also the basketball and the football teams used to be in the outskirts of Detroit, and now they're downtown, and that's helped that downtown tremendously. And I think they're having the same issue. They were having the same issue in Washington D.C. And now they're bringing the football team downtown to Washington D.C. But you're right. I mean, a lot of times people I do remember hearing about that, about the where they were going to locate the baseball stadiums, and you probably are right about people being afraid because they. A lot of your inner cities are predominantly black, and they associate a lot of crime with a lot of black people. Are you still there?
Yes, Derek. You know, when I interrupt you, you have a fit. But then when I don't say anything, you ask if I'm still here.
Yeah, but I was just thinking about some of those cities that they're doing them. And even the only thing I could think of come close would be the one in Atlanta, Georgia, where they had the
Braves. So I'm assuming those stadiums are located in downtowns, or have they relocated them from downtowns to the suburbs? What are we talking about here, Derek?
Yeah, they're talking about the one in Atlanta, Georgia, where they did the same thing that you guys did in Milwaukee. They said there was too much crime in the inner city, and so they moved out to Cobb County, the baseball stadiums. It makes it's any more convenient for a lot of the people and everything else like that. But they're saying, hey, well, at least we'll be safe and everything.
All right. Thank you for sharing that with us, Derek.
Yeah, but like I said, but a lot of times, you know, some things need to be downtown, like the basketball. And probably the other thing I can think about would be the football when they moved the L.A. Rams from St. Louis, and they moved it to Englewood. But somebody was saying to me.
All right, then. But Englewood, that's actually an example in the opposite direction, because Englewood is very black. That's a great place to put a baseball stadium, because wherever you put a large sports arena, you're going to create instantaneous economic development. So actually locating a large sports arena to an impoverished black neighborhood or a black community can turn it around right away, or it can invite gentrification. But we appreciate your call, Derek. I got to take a break now. Thank you, sir.
Go ahead. I'm just curious.
All right, then. Now. All right, Derek. Phew. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Looking for a school where scholars thrive, teachers believe, and excellence is the expectation? Milwaukee College Prep is still enrolling scholars grades K-3 through 8 for the upcoming school year. With 4 high-performing campuses, award-winning educators, and a proven track record for academic success, Milwaukee College Prep is helping more than 2,000 Milwaukee scholars build brighter futures every day. Don't wait. Seats are limited. Apply today at MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com. That is MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com, or call 414-264-6000, 414-264-6000. Milwaukee College Prep, excellence by design, futures without limits. I think some of these adults need to enroll in Milwaukee College Prep. Y'all need to get some of your education up. Why black people are so shocked. The veneer is almost flawless because they'll invite you to stuff, want to hang out with you, want to do happy hour with you, and hate your guts. They'll talk to you, get to know you, ask you about your family. Maybe you drink a little bit too much at the happy hour and reveal something personal. Next thing you know, you're talking to HR, because here's the other thing you got to watch out for. It's always economic competition with them. You better hope they don't have a sister or a brother or a sister-in-law or a mother-in-law or a father-in-law that is looking for a job, and the person in their family that is looking for a job does exactly what you do. They'll set you up to get fired. It's not personal. It's just, you know, a member of their family comes first. Or their neighbor just fell on hard times, and their neighbor happens to have a real nice resume that might be a little bit less polished than yours, but, you know, they'd be a good fit for the position because, you know, they fit better into the corporate culture. We thought that we had a bunch of allies, and we don't. That is why it's very difficult for African-Americans that know this to want to be allied with democratic socialists, because expecting us to integrate with working class white people when all of this dirty history has not been resolved is insane. It's insane. Now, what they do, though, is they look at black people and say, oh, you guys are poor, too. You guys are struggling, too. Come and join our movement. Now, we're going to go first. We're going to lead the movement. We're going to set the agenda. The agenda is not going to take into account race. But no, come and join us. Because, you know, working class white people need as many people in their agenda as they can possibly get. That is how they can win elections. And if you can win elections by preying on the vulnerability of black folks, all you got to do is tell black folks, you know, you blacks are really poor, too. You know, you blacks, your wages are way too low. You know, you blacks are not being treated fairly by your employer as well. You should be getting a raise. You know, you blacks are making minimum wage as well. And what do we say as black folks? Yeah, that's right. That's true. All that is true. All the above is true. But what they don't take into account is that why some of us, and I'm going to say some, because some black folks are doing fantastic. Some black folks are doing better than the whites. But one of the reasons why some black people may be in an economically disadvantaged position is because they are black. That can be a reason. Democratic socialists can't take that into account because that is a white movement led by white people who weren't given what they were promised by previous generations. See, the baby boomers lied to them. They're the wealthiest generation America has ever seen. They got something like $140 trillion worth of wealth. And what they are doing is they are starving their own kids. And so then you have a political movement that exists to rebel against the status quo, which is the largest, wealthiest generation that America has ever seen, and that's the baby boomers. But that also draws contrast with African Americans as well, because we don't hate our baby boomer generation. Those are the ones that got us the rights that we right now are taking for granted. So you can, and also our baby boomers ain't got no hell of a lot of money. White baby boomers do. Black baby boomers got a little, they got a little taste of money, got a little itty bitty piece. They got a little, they ain't got as much as the white folks do. So they're trying to start this intergenerational war where it's a bunch of white kids that are mad at their parents. Screw you, mom and dad. I want the freaking house right now. Mom and dad is like, no, go get a job. We took care of you long enough, you spoiled brat. Fine, mom and dad. I'll go recruit a bunch of blacks and we're going to have a political movement led by an Asian lady in Wisconsin and a Muslim in Michigan. Oh, by the way, have I got some comments from the New Berlin mayor. Woo-wee, did he serve up a good helping. Oh, y'all were shocked by that too? Where's my story about the New Berlin mayor? Ooh, he let y'all have it. And then stood by his comments. Quote, it was revolting. Muslim leader called for New Berlin mayor's resignation over lewd social media posts. Let me make this abundantly clear. The New Berlin mayor isn't going anywhere. New Berlin mayor Dave Amen is under fire after two Muslim organizations called for his resignation following the discovery of anti-Muslim, racist, and sexist content he shared publicly on Facebook. So the mayor of this town is letting everybody know, hey, here's how I feel. And I'll be honest with you. I appreciate him doing it. Let me tell you why. Because I'd rather know before I go to New Berlin for anything. Now, hey, Sherwin, we're going to meet up at the sports bar in New Berlin. Okay, have fun. Not going. Because if the mayor feels that way, and if he's going to put it on a public Facebook page, and dude said, I'm not taking it down. I'm going to get to his comments in just a second. He was like, my public comments don't mean that I speak on behalf of everyone in New Berlin. Kinda. I would rather know. So here's what will happen, though, because some black folks get so hurt by this. Because we're just astonished that people don't like us. We're thinking, we're so fun. We're so funny. We dance really well. We sing good. Watch us perform. You know the original drawing of Mickey Mouse was blackface as a mimic of a minstrel show? You know that the character Goofy, look at the old pictures of Goofy, the old Disney drawings. Goofy is a shiftless, lazy, happy-go-lucky colored man. Goofy! Now, they changed his image up, you know what I mean? They made him look more like a dog. The whole character of Goofy is part of a minstrel theatrical dramatization and caricature of a black stereotype. It goes that deep. And we don't even have no idea. Walt Disney was incredibly racist. So was Dr. Seuss. When I found that out, that hurt. Like, they did a whole expose on, like, some of the racist commentary, like the hidden racist messages. Oh, Dr. Seuss is and I love Dr. Seuss books. Little did I know, I was being slowly taught to hate myself. The Muslim Women's Coalition and the Wisconsin Muslim Civic Alliance brought Amen's post, who's the mayor of New Berlin, to light. The content includes reposts such as, quote, if you voted for a Muslim or elected for elected office, you're a traitor. If it weren't for white people, slavery would have never ended, and posts featuring sexually suggestive content. Janan Najib, founder of the Muslim Women's Coalition, said she was shocked when she first saw the post. I'm going to leave it there, pick it back up for hour two. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.